As we celebrate the Ascension, one of the questions we might ask is, what is the Ascension? What's that all about? You know, it's not about a space trip, right? Where Jesus goes up in space on a spaceship. No, it's not about that. It's about our humanity, an earthly reality, going up into heaven. And at Pentecost, something comes down to us, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon us. So there's this great exchange that's happening, this linking of heaven and earth. This isn't about some odd idea that Jesus went up into the sky, but it's about the reality that heaven and earth are brought together. God is making it possible for us, even now, to share in his missionary work, that he wants to give us something, and he wants to place our humanity at the right hand of the Father. And so he went up to that place, and he sends now to us the Holy Spirit next Sunday as we celebrate Pentecost once again. Now, next week, we'll be having our parish mission that'll start, and I want to talk a little bit about being open to the Holy Spirit. You know, during my time as a priest, and here even, I would say, I've noticed that sometimes there's mixed feelings regarding the charismatic expressions of the faith. I've seen this in many places, but I've noticed that there's a particular guarded outlook of regarding the expressions of the Holy Spirit in an outward way. And I think this has something to do with the past, perhaps. And that's why I'd like to take a little bit of time and think about that. Let's bring that to mind. Because I think for us as Catholics, it's very important that we understand and especially that we appreciate the gifts of the Spirit and the life of the Spirit. And yet there are things that we should be careful about. So some of you, maybe in the past more or less, were involved in what was been called the charismatic renewal. This was a movement in the church that swept through shortly after Vatican II and even beforehand to some degree. And it took all kinds of forms, all kinds of ways that it took shape and expression. But suffice it to say, it was a powerful movement. It had a lot of effect in the church, whether we agreed with it or not, whether we liked it or not. It got people fired up about their faith. My parents actually were involved in this movement too, and so many of the families that I grew up knowing and living with also had experiences of this charismatic renewal in one form or another. Now, in many of these movements, people were energized. In a sense, the first time they experienced the Catholic Church or their faith to be a life-giving thing for them. It was a radical decision to follow Christ. It was a radical moment to commit ourselves to Christ. And, you know, there are lots of ways that this took shape. Around here there was, maybe some of you know, there was the community called the Bread of Life community, and there were households, people living together in community in a particular way. Many of you were involved as parishioners. Others felt, I think, maybe disenfranchised by this whole thing. They really didn't see this charismatic thing as theirs, so they felt kind of uncomfortable by it. In my parents' group, there were people who kind of took charge. They were the leadership of this group, and they didn't really have an official authority from the church, and so there was no accompanying guidance, and sometimes it led to problems. You know, the clergy didn't want to be involved for different reasons. Sometimes it's because they didn't know how to be involved. Maybe they were uncomfortable with themselves, or they felt inadequate or insecure with these lay people who seemed so on fire with the Lord. Maybe they didn't know how to enter into that. But when there was no guidance and no accountability, abuses happened. Because these problems arose. There were problems that kind of came out of that. Sometimes these communities broke down themselves over disagreements. And I would say in a similar way as in the Protestant churches, when there's no clear authority and there's a disagreement, that leads to a parting of ways or the implosion of the community. So that happened at times. Other times, you know, clergy tried to bring some correction maybe or some guidance, and the leaders didn't receive that very well, so they decided they were going to leave the church. And that happened with my parents' group in particular. The group kind of broke in half, and some of them went off and started a Protestant church. So I know a little bit from talking to my parents what that's like, and that was very hard. They felt convicted by the Spirit that the Spirit was guiding them, and therefore they should trust that even over the voice, the living voice of the church. And so people kind of went their own separate ways. And this happened many, many times in many different ways, that there was sort of this disruption. And it left people confused, left them angry sometimes. It left people with a bad taste in their mouth. And so for those reasons, many Catholics today try to steer clear of anything that smells or appears to be charismatic. They're a little suspicious. They say things like, "Well, I know where that goes," or, "Those people really aren't Catholic." Now, there's good reason to be careful. History bears that up. But I would also say we can't write the whole thing up, right? Charismatic renewal was a powerful thing. It was not a failed venture. Many of those people who were involved in it, they are the ones that were ardent Catholics, and are the ardent Catholics today, I would say, even. They've been involved, and they were involved in those days, and many of them look back on those days fondly. And probably many of them would not have stayed in the church if they hadn't had those experiences. So we have to say that there was fruit there. They know God is real, they had experiences of Him, and they felt that. And though, I would say sometimes their spirituality can be focused on trying to recreate the past experiences. So sometimes we get caught up in the past and want to stay there. So we can't say that being in touch with the Holy Spirit is a bad thing. It's always a good thing to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is meant to be in the church and living in the church and through the church. Indeed, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever, I would say, to come upon the church. We should be praying for the Holy Spirit to enter our lives and to set us on fire with the mission of Christ. We need to realize, though, that we shouldn't always be looking back and saying, we want to go back to where that Holy Spirit was during the charismatic renewal or some other place. That's history. When the Holy Spirit works, it's always a new thing. It's always a new movement that He's bringing about. So following the Lord is not always it's not always going back, it's going forward. And allowing the Holy Spirit to create His own current venture or adventure that He wants to bring us onto. Never simply looking back, but always looking ahead to what is going to happen. And certainly we can and should look back at our history and understand that. And we should hold fast to the traditions and teachings that have been taught to us. That's very important. But we also have to be constantly asking the Lord to speak into the present of our lives and trust that He is speaking. We need to be on guard to stay united to Christ and His church. Throughout history, different people have begun in the Spirit in a genuine way. The Holy Spirit has worked through them, but then through their pride, perhaps, or their lack of obedience to legitimate authority, these same spiritually filled people have shipwrecked their own faith or the faith of others. That's a very sad thing. So let's lay down a couple principles. The Holy Spirit is still active in the church. That is a Catholic teaching. We have to believe that. Which means we should constantly be asking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the genuine voice of the Holy Spirit always leads a person deeper into the church. Never away from it, or never in a way that breaks down a community that is healthy. So there's a way we can discern the voice of the Spirit. Is it leading me into the church or away from the church? And thirdly, there are true and legitimate gifts that the Spirit does give to the church, to the members of the church, to build up the church. These gifts are to be effective, and they need to be under legitimate authority, that's true. So that means we should always be in dialogue with our pastor or legitimate authority over us, asking, you know, how am I to use this gift that I feel I've been given? And on the other hand, the clergy or those who have authority need to be responsive to that and say, yes, you have a gift. How can we use that for the church? So there has to be that two-way dialogue that's happening. So we need to be open to the Spirit. We also need to be wary of being led astray. It's a balance that must be walked. To be close to the Spirit means we never allow the Spirit to move us to do His work. And to be open to the Spirit without guidance means we probably are going to get separated from the church at some point, led astray. So Father David, who's coming next week, he'll be preaching at the Masses next weekend. I wouldn't wouldn't say he's a particularly charismatic speaker like Deacon Keith was last year, but I think he will have some real insights in how we can invite the Spirit to be at work in our parish. So I invite you, please come, please allow the Lord to speak to you. Maybe the Lord has some particular thing for you as individuals. Maybe he has something for us as a community that he wants to make us aware of. Let's ask the Spirit to work in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.